And anyone that has worked for a bank before will understand this, because I also used to work in different functions in head office where big bank, right? Technology has been around since, you know, it was an abacus in the 1820s or whatever, right? So moving technology in a bank is like, you know, getting the Titanic to do a U-turn. Like, it's just go slow or it sinks, right? Like, so it got to the point where I thought, you know what? I want to be in this for a little longer, right? I want to be able to grow this a little bit more. I need to be able to do more for my client.
Hello, hello. For those of you that are avid listeners, I know we've got thousands now, not true, but creeping up there, you may notice, although people do often say I sound like Tom and Tom sounds like me, Tom is not here. He just welcomed his first child. And so I will be driving today. And with me, I actually have Stephen Green. So this is episode 20, and I don't know what we're going to call this one. Maybe the Green episode. I don't know. But
the Tom Hall fill-in.
Yeah, the Tom Hall fill-in. Yeah.
I look like Tom 20 years down the road right here.
Yeah, exactly. That's Tom in 20 years. Well, I don't know if you're 20 years older than him. I think he just turned 30. Yeah, so maybe you are, maybe not. But
15, 16, I'm pretty damn close.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so I think you were mentioning you have children. And he's going to be going through some sleepless nights. He was trying to stay really positive. He's like, no, I'm going to sleep. I'll be fine. And I was saying to him, like, there's a difference between being positive and being realistic with a good attitude. Anyways, I'm sure he's enjoying it.
Well, he had a daughter, so he's got another 25 years of sleepless nights, just so he knows. So just saying.
Oh, there we go. Well, yeah, it's going to be an interesting month because he just had his child and then he's going to be off for at least a couple weeks. And then myself, and I don't even think you know this, Stephen, but I've been going through this whole 2-year journey of fixing my face or my jaw more specifically.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I currently have braces on. I had one surgery to break my top jaw. I'm having another one in 3 weeks to break both jaws. And basically I'll look like Brad Pitt at the end, hopefully. But long story short, it's not like aesthetic. It was a functional thing where my teeth were all messed up.
Oh, man.
And so I'll be off for 2 weeks, but my difference, probably some sleepless nights as well, I will be wired shut for a little bit. So I'll also be very quiet, which
your wife must be pretty happy, I guess.
She is, yeah. That's honestly the most frightening or nerve-wracking part is I've never been able to not talk. So I'll be able to mumble and text and stuff like that. But anyways, a bit of a weird 6 weeks at Blue Root here, but let's get into it. So
you guys are in rough, well, not rough shape when I had a baby, but holy cow. Yeah, you're going to be a little busy the next couple
of weeks. I know, right? Yeah, exactly. So episode 20, Stephen Green, this is our second guest. Our first guest was actually a technology provider. Stephen is actually a mortgage broker, and I think he has other things in the hopper as well, but I'll just give some context and then we'll let him talk. I've been doing this for 10 years now. Blue Mortgage has been around for 5. I looked at some of the data prior to this call, and I meet with customer success every morning, which is our support team. And Stephen has a reputation in the company, and not a bad one, but his questions, they always get escalated to me, or I would say 70% of the time. So he is a very heavy user, power user of our tool. I'm sure he uses other things in his tech stack. And so we thought, why not have one of the people that push our tool the most on the podcast? And yeah, so here he is, Stephen Green.
Awesome. Thanks, Massimo. Yeah, I was a little scared one day when I got an email from the CEO as a response to one of my tech tickets. I'm like, now I've done it. Now I have either arrived or I'm in some trouble.
Yeah, I think I remember that one. I think I made you a Loom as well and introduced myself.
Did
and stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So no, that's great. No, honestly, the people like you, we'd like because, I mean, frankly, you're probably never leaving. And you're really pushing the limits. And that's part of what today's about, talking about tech and how Stephen uses it and some opinions he has. So why don't we just jump into it? Tell us a little bit about your journey into brokering, mortgage brokerages specifically, and yeah, how you got here.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, and thanks for having me. It's a lot of fun doing the podcast circuit. I have my own and then other people invite me and then I invite them. It's a lot of fun.
I must have missed the invite to yours, but I'll check my spam.
I sent you a support team.
Okay.
I think Paul's going to be on the call.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
Actually, Nadia and I, we're pretty tight, so it might be
her. Okay, there you go.
You have an awesome group, man. Yeah. You know what? They take on the challenges. It's nice. Awesome. So it's a good team you've got. It's funny we're having this conversation because I think this sort of function and this sort of technology is exactly why I made that transition into the mortgage brokering world, because I was in banking for 25 years. And, you know, I started with the green bank, then went to the blue bank, then went to the dark blue bank. And, you know, the last 12 years before this, I was with RBC. We'll call it what it is. They're incredible. Like RBC was absolutely incredible to be, not one issue. Loved them. I grew a business out of it. I was a mortgage agent the whole time. But here's what I found, and anyone that has worked for a bank before will understand this, because I also used to work in different functions in head office, where big bank, right? Technology's been around since, you know, it was an abacus in the 1820s or whatever, right? So removing technology in a bank is like, you know, getting the Titanic to do a U-turn. Like, it's just go slow or it sinks, right? Like,
yeah.
So it got to the point where I thought, you know what? I want to be in this for a little longer, right? I want to be able to grow this a little bit more. I need to be able to do more for my clients. And I'm like, what do I need to do? And I think a big part of it is, we were talking a little bit before, you know, we started about where the future is going. And I think the agents and brokers who can truly, you know, take that human function and maximize it instead of doing the admin stuff in the weeds are the ones that are probably going to end up succeeding. And I think that transition in a mortgage broker world, I'll be honest, man, when you leave the cocoon of the bank and you come out and you're like, whoa, there's all these tools. Like, why are we not using this at the bank some way, shape, or form? And
yeah,
it kind of opens your eyes and you're just like, wow, I can do this. And my problem is, as my wife says, my personality type of, if it's not broken, let's break it, right? Let's make it better. Let's just evolve more. And, you know, like for Blue Mortgage and the Zoho platform, I actually started to build that before I left the bank.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I wanted the business to be seamless. Like, I wanted to just come out of the gate, just going, and not a word of a lie. And to answer your other question, I've been doing this now for a year and a half. I think when I first signed up with you guys, and it was my fault, again, my wife's words, not mine, I think I slept on the couch for like 3 months straight. All I wanted to do was just program this damn thing, because...
Were you sending tickets then? I vaguely remember all of a sudden you emailing us, and they were like hard tickets. And I'm like, is this guy new? Like, usually they're just like, how do I integrate my email? But you're like, I have this flow with this workflow. And I'm just like, what? So, okay, you're really building it out. Yeah.
I had a vision. And it's almost there. Sorry, but it's almost there. And this was, again, part of my mentality coming from an environment where I was legitimately paying somebody to send birthday emails. Okay. I was paying somebody to call the law office at 11 a.m. to confirm funds were there. Okay. I don't need to pay someone for that. Right? There's a computer that does that and sends emails. Okay. So that's the kind of stuff that I was programming, because the way things are now, you got to have some cost control, right? We got to look at what can be done automated that doesn't take away from the human process. So that's really where this whole thing came up, where it was like, wow, I can spend time working my clients' files and I don't have to worry about them getting an automated email the day of closing saying, hey, day of closing, congrats, we got your back. 11 o'clock, hey, law office, you got the money. 2 o'clock, hey, law office, are we closed? 5 o'clock, hey, law office, are we good? Realtor, thanks for the referral. I don't want to pay someone to do that. The computer can do that, right? So
yeah,
that's where this whole thing came from.
Yeah. And I mean, I was talking to you earlier in the show, and for those that don't know, when I started the business, I was working with a guy we all know named Ron Butler, and a big brokerage and a certain way of working. But he told me very early on, one of the biggest gaps in the mortgage process is communication. And when a client is signing up for the biggest debt of their life, typically, they want to know everything's going well. And I'm sure the lawyers do too. And these systems can just seamlessly do that. And that's probably what you're alluding to, something to keep in mind, where it's like, you may think it's a silly thing, or you may think the client is like, oh, I'm sure it's fine. But they're not thinking that. They're freaking out. I mean, I bought my first home at the top of the market. I nailed it. Actually, technically, I tell everyone, I bought it end of December 2021, and I think it peaked like Jan or Feb 2022.
Yeah.
So I was like 60 days early, but anyways, I'm equity poor right now. Long story short, communicating with clients is huge and these systems can definitely do it for you. I do have another question, like, because we're seeing in our business some people churn right now because the mortgage market is tough. And some of them are like, I'm getting a job at RBC.
Yeah.
Like I'm leaving the mortgage industry.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, you're mentioning one of the reasons you left or looked elsewhere was new tech, curiosity, whatever. Are there other motivations for leaving the bank? Like more money, I would presume, if you do it right. Yeah, I'm just curious there. Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, I think when you're talking to your centers of influence, so whether it's financial planner, advisors, realtors, whatever, and even clients, they view you differently. Mm. When I talked to all of my partners before I left, I think they were more excited than I was because now you're one of them.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
You don't work for the bank, right?
Yeah.
Even clients, I remember I got frustrated when I was at the bank because they go, oh, my broker can do this. I'm like, dude, I can do that too, right? And I could for the most part.
Yeah.
Until you're in this world, you don't realize the way people view it and the way you've got different options. Listen, you're not sending B deals and privates nonstop all day, but you know what? You can if you need to. And I also think you can control your processes. I can make a change on something immediately, right? I don't have to wait for approval. I control my own brand, right? I wasn't getting in trouble. I was getting emails saying, hey, you may not want to do that because it doesn't support the brand, which I get. I'm respectful of the brand. I get it. But if I want to go a different direction, I can't because I'm in charge. I'm the boss, right? I can grow a team. And that's something where your software, the whole platform has really come into play where we've transitioned completely into Zoho world, like 100%, because why am I paying for Gmail if I can get Zoho Mail for the same thing and integrate, right? So,
oh, you're on Mail too. Okay.
Name it. I'm on it.
Okay.
Some nights I'm like, wow, that's a new Zoho app. What can that one do? And then your team gets an email.
We've got a handful of clients that have gone that full tilt. I should introduce you to some of them. But let's talk about one of the points you brought up there, those emails going out at 2 and at 5.
Yeah.
We get this a lot. And I'm curious your opinion. People will come to us and say, well, I'm different. I want to personalize my communication. I don't want to automate too much. What is your opinion on over automating or automating in general? Like, do you have a line that you draw and say, I'll never email more than twice in a day to a person or things of that nature? Do you have a line? Do you have an opinion on that?
Good question. We've made a business decision that we do not want any realtor, financial advisor client to say, I didn't hear from him. We're erring on the side of caution. And if we send an extra email, that is a problem I want instead of I didn't hear from you. So we've even gone as far as you refer a client to us, goes into our leads. We have lead workflows where as things progress, they book an appointment, realtor gets an email, boom, appointment booked. If we haven't heard from the client, they get an email 2 days later, 5 and 10 days later. Hey, haven't heard. What we find though is they reply. They're like, hey, I just texted them to remind them. Like they're helping us. They want to know. And so even on other things, like for example, we have the texting feature, right? Yeah, guess what? You're going to get a Loom video from Steven on your birthday, right? And it's a value add. It's part of our value add service to our realtors. I haven't had, other than a joke, I haven't had a realtor say, dude, stop freaking emailing me, right? They can appreciate the fact that we are on top of things, right? You got to pick your poison here, you know, because you're not going to keep everybody happy, but I would rather have the complaint of too many emails than I didn't hear from him. No one can say they didn't hear from Steven's team. Nobody.
Yeah.
That's our goal. So,
no, that's a great attitude. And I think you're living proof that at the end of the day, people aren't going to get frustrated by it. They'll actually appreciate you for it. Also, if you're ever wanting to scale your business, like hire staff or do more volume. And I don't know what the number is, but there's a certain point where you can't just personally send these emails. Things are going to fall through the cracks. I mean, we have it too in our business, like building the tech. A lot of the onboarding emails we send are automated and a lot of the follow-ups we send are automated just because you have to do that to scale. So I think that's a really good point, phrasing it around the value and especially realtors, but clients as well, they appreciate even over communication, because at least they heard from you. So,
yeah, I think it's people have to understand that. I say this to my clients, document collection is a complete pain in the butt. It is what it is. You can't get it printed or whatever, right? No one's fault. Well, it's the bank's fault, but we're not going to talk about that. So, you know, it's tough getting documents, right? But I tell my clients this just as an example. What do you want me doing? You want me sorting paperwork or you want me like working on your file, right? Same thing with this. Like, let the automated emails go. Now, I will say this. You got to personalize them. Right. So they got to look like it's your right. Like, I typed out the emails, and this is now the new automated email. I don't sign Stephen Green. I sign SG. That's how I normally sign it. Or I say, hey there, or I use a merge tag or whatever, but it looks like it's me, right? And my realtors know they're automated. Who cares? Doesn't matter. They know. They know I'm on top. They know the status.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. In an earlier episode, Tom and I talked about this, but there are ways to make the emails look like you sent them, and you don't have flashy big photos in them and all these borders and stuff. You can make them look like you sent them. And that does help, A, open rates and spam rates, because Google and Outlook are just getting crazy now with the amount they're spamming. So anyways, that's really good to know. So, I mean, I'm curious your whole tech stack. I think viewers would be interested in that. Just to show the gamut of things, I get the vibe that you're using a CRM, RCRM, but then obviously you also have some submission platform you're using. From what I remember, you have like an online scheduling tool. It might even be the Zoho one. Anyways, talk to me about your stack, and when a client works with you, like how many softwares are they interacting with?
Yeah. Yeah. I've never had someone ask me about my stack. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Some flattery. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, again, business decision. Listen, I'm the nerd that went to the Zoho Alex.
Oh, you went? You were there? The one in Toronto?
Oh, but I was there with my computer with the guys.
Oh, I was there too. Me. I didn't see
I
you.
I saw Tom. I saw
oh,
Tom.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, so. Gotcha. Yeah. There's one in Austin, Texas in 2 months. Their big one. I don't know if you're going to that.
No, I was thinking about it. Toronto's just down the road. I will see.
Yeah.
So again, another business decision. We looked at the whole Zoho suite. Right. And when I saw it's got bookings, it's got campaigns, I canceled all the other stuff. I don't need Calendry. I don't need Constant Contact. I even got rid of Microsoft Office. Like, really? I do mortgages. My spreadsheets are not that complicated. I got a CRM. It's just not that complicated. So I just completely transitioned into it, but it's all integrated. I even use Zoho People. Like, I use everything for my team. Yeah, like, I am knee deep, my friend. Like, Click we use. That's how we communicate, right? Everything is Zoho Click. And it's mainly because the integrations are just so tight. And then, because I am the way I am, again, my wife's words, not mine, the thing started to grow. I'm like, all right, I got to get on this texting bandwagon, right? So now we have the blue text, which has been fantastic, right? It's been awesome. People are in contact, whatever. And now, just recently, we've signed up for the Zed portals.
Oh, with John Mark, Catalyst Connect, yeah.
Yeah, we're now coming out with a client portal, which I don't know anyone else who has a freaking client portal for mortgages, where we're going to have like Zoho Sign. We're going to have their Sign docs in there, their Work Drive folder. And then we're even doing it where their realtor information will be in their client portal. So the whole point of what we're trying to do is the understanding that everything is going to be digital that way. Everything, right? There's no more paper. Who deals with paper anymore? Who deals with spreadsheets, right? We have to make sure we deliver just a crazy client experience. That's digital, crazy client experience. We use Canadian Mortgage App, right? That's integrated, right? What's the other one that we use? There's a whole bunch of stuff, but it's all integrated, making it easier. So we're all in on the tech side, but we haven't lost touch of our clients because the tech, for example, supports the behavior. So yeah, they get an annual email on a closed mortgage saying, hey, happy anniversary, book a time. I want to talk to you, right? We're using Zoho Meeting or whatever it is, right? We're using that too. So we're still there with our clients. The tech should support the behaviors.
Yeah.
That's how we look at it.
Totally agree. And just so you know, that was our last guest, Ben, who built the Canadian Mortgage App. He was on the last episode. Yeah. So awesome. We love his tech. Just some tidbits there that I think everyone should understand is just like having everything all in one place is not only valuable operationally, like you're saying, the integrations and all of that. And just for context as well, like Click that Stephen was mentioning is like Teams or Slack or I guess Skype back in the day, RIP. Well, I think it still exists, but anyways.
Oh, yeah. MSN Messenger, man.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
My dad yelling at me when I was using the dial-up. Yeah. Click is an instant messenger that Stephen uses for his team. Bookings is like Calendly, like he said. Campaigns is like a MailChimp or Constant Contact. So operationally, it's all in one place. But then there's all kinds of other benefits, like for example, and I don't know if this is in the cards for you at this point, but we have had or heard of brokers selling their businesses or selling their book of business or passing it on to someone. And when you have everything in a system, it helps you do that a lot easier, even probably make more money.
Don't tell everybody this, okay. But my retirement plan.
Yeah, there you go. So I personally am working a lot. We actually have another product in our business for financial advisors, and that's where I'm living right now. And those guys sell their book of business all the time. I think there's a bit more money in it because they have a lot of recurring revenue on this life insurance and all that. But anyways, it's very important to get everything in one place. So here's where I think we're going to round this out, and I'm curious on your opinion. I think I know the way you're going to land. Most people I talk to land this way, but I'm hearing more and more, I'm also like you, where I think anyways is like I tinker with a lot of things. I'm at all the Zoholics. I'm checking everything that new tech is coming out. I'm definitely an early adopter of just about everything. AI has a lot of momentum. I won't even call it a fad. It's proving to be beneficial. And with that, I'm hearing this debate come up again, and I've heard it in the past, which is like, could there be a digital broker? Brokers' jobs are at risk. The bank's going to pour $100 million into this AI that's just going to do mortgages for us. And I think Scotia has tried. I don't know how far they got, but here's the question. I'll stop talking after this. Do you think that is a risk in the next X amount of years? Is there going to be a digital broker where mortgage broker is no longer needed?
You said an important thing there. You said X number of years. I think that's a key thing here. How many years will this take? So I'm Gen X. My generation, they're huge in tech, still need the human, right? I would say maybe the kids of the millennials,
Okay. Maybe
they will get close to it. Here's what I think is going to happen. So people like myself will be around the longest, as long as we can live, but we're going to be around the longest, okay? The folks that are still doing the spreadsheet thing, okay, not staying in contact with their clients, not embracing where their clients are, okay, not bringing client portals, and we even have a realtor portal now, like not bringing that stuff to people, they're gone first.
Yeah.
Okay, they'll keep their existing clients, but they might not grow too much. When you say X number of years, 10, 15, okay. And then the folks like myself, again, the Gen X group, who's really kind of knee deep into this, they'll be able to sell off their book, or they'll be able to kind of transition out that way. I think it's going to be the more understanding you have of what AI is and what it isn't, I think that will serve you well going forward. We use it. I use it all the time, right?
Yeah.
Until AI becomes emotion-based, it's not there yet.
Yeah.
We're not far. Like I said, I think maybe millennials' kids might get there, but we're not there yet, right?
Yeah.
Man, like, come on. If you're not on people's phones, if you are not an app on somebody's phone, do you exist? Right?
Yeah, think that's a good way of putting it. And again, I remember doing a little interview like this many years back, and I'll bring him up again, but it was Ron, and he was just saying, like, if you're the broker going to a Tim Hortons and meeting with people, and this was maybe 4 years ago, you've got an expiry date coming.
Yes.
Like, you have to realize that's not a thing anymore. Now we're even further than that, where it's like, you're saying, if you're not adopting AI and embracing it and using it, if you don't have a CRM and you don't have automations and you don't have a process, you have an expiry date as well. And I mean, we're not saying it in a mean way. It's just like, realistically, you have to adapt. Like anyone in business, like travel agents used to be a massive thing. Now there still are travel agents that are tech enabled and usually are niched into a certain thing, like travel to, I don't know, Mount Everest or something. That's probably an important thing as well as brokers, is to have a niche and focus on that. But no, I appreciate that. And I agree. I don't think we're there. But what would you say is the hardest part for the AI to figure out? Is it the doc collection? Is it some of the scenarios? I mean, I think relationships with underwriters play a part in all of this, or relationships with banks that it can never replicate.
Yeah, it's the emotion. It is the relationship. It's just the understanding of the outside the box.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. It's the, I don't want to use the term negotiation, but the negotiation with an underwriter or talking to a realtor about timelines and stuff. Hey, I can probably swing this, but you know, I can't swing that. Just go try this. Like that kind of out of the box thinking, because AI is programmed, right? This is what is happening, you know? And I think, again, that's where let your tech do tech stuff. You go do human stuff.
Yeah.
Right. That's where that separation's got to happen. Get off the damn spreadsheet. Like, seriously, dude, why are you using a bloody spreadsheet? Like, that blows my mind, right? So I use this with my assistants all the time, where I remember when I first started this journey, there was a lot of manual stuff they were doing. And then we started taking stuff away. I'm like, not taking stuff away. But I'm like, hey, computer does that now. But I said, we're going to give you this instead. And then one girl goes, just, are you going to need us anymore? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need your brain and your human stuff to do stuff. The computer's going to do the computer stuff, right?
Yeah.
I don't want you emailing the guy at 11 a.m. at the lawyer's office. No, you're going to go and make sure the docs are right, because the computer can't do that.
Yeah.
Right. So
more valuable work. Yeah.
Like the value add stuff. Like,
yeah.
For example, how many Kodak stock do you own? Or Blockbuster? Blockbuster, they didn't buy Netflix. Netflix wasn't the next thing.
It's crazy. So, yeah.
Embrace it, man. Or otherwise, guess what? Yep. You're Blockbuster and Kodak. So
agreed.
You know,
yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, just to wrap it up with one final question for you. I don't know if you have anything here, but like, is there any advice if you were to do this all over again, you would have done differently? Maybe lean into tech first, or some people say, oh, I wouldn't even go into this industry. Most don't say that, but I think Ron says that. I'm using him a lot today. But anyways, any advice for new brokers that are kind of scared of tech or scared of jumping in?
I joke. So we have a team. So when I interview people to possibly join our team, I honestly say, I'm like, look, man, if you can get past this first interview with me and you actually still want to do this job, God bless you, you can start tomorrow, because it is brutal. Like, I couldn't even imagine starting brand new. My biggest thing I would say, anybody that wants to start in this job, make sure you've got someone leading you that is not trying to get through today, who's looking 5 years down the road. Like, if you don't have that forward vision and you're just trying to get through your damn spreadsheet or whatever it is you're using, you're toast. Like, you're toast. So don't worry about the desk fee and all the other crap people get in the weeds about. Worry about your relationships and worry about that your leader's looking 5-10 years down the road, because that's where you got to be headed.
That's really good advice.
So,
yeah. All right. Well, that's great. And I appreciate you showing up. I'm sure I'll be talking to you more, especially with some of these new things you're playing with. I don't know if you want to give shout out to your podcast or anything like that.
Yeah, it's called The Green Effect Podcast weekly. As long as I don't sleep in, or it's not a long weekend and my wife's got me working stuff that I'm supposed to be working on or not, whichever way you look at it. But yeah, The Green Effect Podcast,
right,
every single week. I haven't drop the F-bomb in this one, but we mark it explicit for a reason. So all about life, business, finance, and I call it my therapy session, and people just listen to me talk about the market and how horrible the job is and what happens.
That's
and
great.
Blue Mortgage didn't get back to me quick. I'm kidding. That was a joke. I'm kidding. You guys are amazing. I'm kidding.
That's great.
It's a weekly, every podcatcher, you betcha.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for having me.